Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
How many of you are ready to receive from the Word of God? Let's go ahead and take your Bibles if you would. Let's make this confession. I like to make confessions, don't you? Because Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say, even to the mountain, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes that the things that they say will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." So let's make this confession about our Bible. Take your Bible, hold it up. Say this boldly now. Don't be afraid. Let the devil, the angels, God, and the next door neighbors hear you. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. I am what it says I am. And I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, God will speak to me through this word by his Spirit. I'll believe it. I'll receive it, I'll understand it, and I'll do it. And my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Now give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God is so good, isn't he? Praise God. Praise God. We're just going to follow God tonight. How about that? It's a good idea to follow God, isn't it? Because he knows where we need to get to, doesn't he? Praise God. You know, if we follow God and do what God says the way God says to do it, we will have what God says we will have when we follow God and do what God says to do the way God says to do it. If we'll just keep those simple rules together, do what God says the way God says to do it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. Don't interpret it. Don't do anything like that. Just do what God says. Keep it real simple. Amen. Doesn't it say, "I fear lest you be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ"? This word is so simple. It takes a theologian to mess it up. Because it's so simple. But it takes religious minds to mess it up. Well, we got to get rid of that religious thinking. Unfortunately, especially in this country, what we have primarily in the church is religion instead of truth. We have tradition instead of Bible doctrine. Now, that doesn't help. That's why the church is sick. It's why the church is broke. It's why the church is defeated. It's why the church is oppressed and depressed. That's why there is just as high of a divorce rate in the church as there is in the secular world. It's why there's just as many people sick in the church as there are in the natural world. Amen. And that's why so many folks are broke in the church just as they are in the unbelievers. We need to get it right. Amen. And understanding what God has said is the key to getting it right. Knowing what he said and understanding it. Amen. Knowing it and understanding it. Knowing it and understanding it. Knowing it and understanding it. And don't try to change it. Let's not get religious about it. Religion will rob you of the power that is in you. Doesn't the Word of God says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond anything you're able to ask or think, according to the power that's at work in you"? See, religion will rob you of that power. Doesn't the Word of God say, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world"? But religion will rob you of that power. It will cut off the flow. Amen. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You have nullified the Word of God, making it of no effect, because your teaching is doctrine, the traditions of men." We need to stop teaching as doctrine the traditions of men and start teaching people what the Word of God says. That's why so many folks are waiting for God to heal them. I said that's why so many folks are waiting for God to heal them. God doesn't say he will heal you in the New Testament. He said that in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he said, I have healed you. There's a difference between I will and I have. That's why so many folks are in debt and broke and can't make it along, because folks are hoping that God is going to do something to meet their need. God said, I already did. I gave you Jesus. I gave you my Holy Spirit. I gave you the kingdom of heaven. I put it in you. You got everything you need, want, require, or desire. What more do you want? I blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I can't bless you anymore. And yet people pray every day, Lord, bless me. There's nothing left to bless us with. He gave us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says so. Read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and believe what he said. Amen. That's a futile prayer. Amen, it is. See, if we would pray in accordance with God's word, then we would have an answer. He can't do something that he's already done. It's done. Amen. And he says, the reason why my people are having so much trouble is because they don't know what they need to know. Doesn't he say that in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. They don't know what they need to know. You know why they don't know what they need to know? Because they don't bother finding out what they need to know. And then when somebody comes along and tells them, they want to argue about it because, well, now in our church, we teach this. Well, I'm not interested in what your church teaches. I'm interested in what God said. Amen. And I'm not talking about or against any church or man or ministry. I'm just dealing with an issue now. Amen? If I stand up here and start telling you something that's not in the Bible, I would expect you to look at me with some strange eyes. And maybe raise your hand and say, a pastor, you're going to have to back that up with New Testament word. Amen? Amen. We need to get it right. Amen? I say we need to get it right, don't we? Praise God. Let's turn over, if we would, to 1 John. Now, if you don't know where 1 John is, just go to the book of Revelation and go backwards a few pages. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. Just turn there and go backwards. And when you go backward from Revelation, you'll end up in 3 John. Then you'll go to 2 John. Then you go to 1 John. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3. Praise God. And we're going to talk about something today. And the reason why we're going to talk about it is the same reason that we talk about all the other things. And that's because we need to know it. Amen? And because God said, talk about this. And how many of you know it doesn't matter how many times we talk about the same thing? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Comes by repeated and continual hearing of the Word of God. Amen? Praise God. So we'll talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. You know, really, if you read the Bible, you'll find out that in the Bible, there is really just an ongoing theme. And the theme basically is who Jesus is in us, who we are in Him, amen, what He has in us, and what we have in Him. And everything else is just a variation on that theme. If you listen to classical music, you'll find many times it's called variations on a theme. And it's just basically playing the same thing, same theme, same thing with variations. And really, teaching the Bible is the same thing. The message should be consistent. And do you know that from Genesis to Revelation, the message is consistent? Just variations on a theme. Just looking at different things in detail. But it's still all the same theme. Jesus. That's basically it. Jesus, who He is in us, who we are in Him, what He has in us, what we have in Him. He is our all in all. Amen? Praise God. Now, that should have given you enough time to get to 1 John chapter 3. Praise God. Thank God that your pastor's got sharp eyes. Glory to God. And so I want you to look at verse 8. All right? Now, the first part of verse 8 may not be all that exciting, but that's all right. It gets better. We'll keep reading. He that commits sin is of the devil. Now, listen to me. Don't think for a minute that you're of the devil. Sin is of the devil. You're not. The Word of God says, beloved, we are of God. So we're of God. Amen. But sin is of the devil. Amen. So know this, that when you yield yourselves to sin, you're yielding yourselves to the influence and the nature of the devil. It's a good idea not to yield yourself to sin. Seeing is how you've been redeemed from it. Praise God. But he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And here's the part I want you to see. This is the part I want you to see. This is the part I want you to get excited about. This is the part I want you to come to some knowledge and understanding to get some revelation on, and that is this. The entire purpose of the visitation of Jesus Christ. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin is of the devil. It is a work of the devil. And it was for this purpose that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. Why was the Son of God manifested? To destroy the works of the devil. Now notice it doesn't say work. It says works, plural. Which means there's more than one work. Which means there's more than one way, in other words, that that sin is manifested. Amen. There's more than one way that sin is manifested. For example, death. Death is a manifestation of sin. It is a result of it. Sin is the cause of death. In case you didn't know that. Sickness. Pain. Misery, oppression, depression. These are all the results of sin. These are all the results of sin. These are the works of the devil. These are not works of God. God doesn't have any sickness in heaven. Thank God. So we don't have to worry about it. There's no hospitals in heaven because there's no need. Amen. He doesn't have misery in heaven. There's no oppression in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. Amen? There's no lack in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There are no poor people in heaven. Amen? Everyone is well provided for. There's no loneliness in heaven. There's no abuse in heaven. There's no psychological problems, anxiety in heaven. There's no worry in heaven. Those things are all of the devil. And it's for this purpose that the Son of God was manifested, to destroy all those things. To destroy them. Sure. Not just make them easier to bear. Well, I guess God just gave me this, put me in this wheelchair so that I could learn to trust him. Boy, you need to read the Bible. As Jesus said in Matthew, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. God didn't put you in any wheelchair. God can teach you something without you being in a wheelchair. God brings people out of wheelchairs. He doesn't put them into wheelchairs. Just turn backwards a few pages to Hebrews, if you would. This is going to help you. Amen. You're going to like this. Oh, I like that. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to talk a little bit about the devil and his works. Not that we're going to glorify him or empower him. But it's important for us when we talk about the devil to make sure we talk about him properly in a way that doesn't empower him or glorify him. And I cannot tell you how many conversations I have with Christians that glorify the devil. Telling me about how the devil's been attacking them all week and getting the best of them all week long. That is not glorifying God. That is glorifying the devil and empowering him. You know, how many of you know there's two words that we use? One is enabling and one is empowering. Amen? Amen. When we go ahead and we talk about the devil and glorify him and talk about what he's doing and how he's been attacking us and how we've been under attack all week long and how he's been doing this, he's been attacking this and attacking this and attacking this, all we're doing is just going ahead and empowering him and enabling him to go ahead and to work his works in our life. There's a way to talk about the devil that does not do that. And I want to talk about the devil a little bit. But I want to make sure it's done right and proper. Amen? So we don't enable him. So we don't empower him. Amen? And if we're going to talk about the devil, we should talk about the devil in the same light and in the same way God talked about him. Just do what God did. Say what God says. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," speaking of Jesus, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," say through death, "he might," that's speaking of Jesus, "destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. Now I want you to notice a couple things. The first thing is this, just as we just read in 1 John, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Here we have that same thing being said, just a little bit different, that through death, through his death, through the crucifixion that of Jesus Christ, through his death that he willingly submitted himself to, he might destroy him. Destroy him that had, say had. Please circle that in your Bible, because it does not say has. It says had. It says had. Destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil had the power of death. Let me tell you something right now. If the devil could kill you, he would have done so already. The second you were born again, he would have killed you. Why? Because he knows that all it takes is one Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, knowing the Word of God, all it takes is one to withstand him. Just one. It doesn't even take the whole church. It just takes one Christian, one person who knows his place in God. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority. I give you power over serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. And nothing by any means will harm you." All it takes is one, just one, who knows. Amen. That's why it's called, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Amen. And it says that through death, he, Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Say deliver. And deliver them. Who through fear of death. See, Christians, people are, they're afraid. They fear death. And I'm not just talking about physical death. They fear the death of their marriages. They fear the death of their children. They fear the death of their finances, the death of their business. They fear the death of their physical bodies. See, there's many, many things that the devil will show you real clear. He'll just put a little vision in your head, and you'll see yourself going under, and then you'll be afraid. It's fear. See, he uses fear. Fear to control. And look what it says, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How does he keep people in bondage? Through fear. Through fear. This is the devil we're talking about. This is the enemy we're talking about. Now you notice that the only thing he has as a tool is fear. That's the only tool he has. The only way he can keep us in bondage is through fear. You know, he can't do one thing to you physically that you don't let him. But he can get you to open the door to it through fear. Well, what about Job? Yeah, read Job, especially Job chapter 3, where it says, "The thing that I feared the most has come upon me." It was fear that opened the door to Satan to come in. It was fear that did it. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs, the fear of the wicked will come upon him. Why? Because that fear is unbelief. And God calls that wickedness. Amen. Calls it an evil heart of unbelief in Hebrews. Amen. Look at right here. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," you understand we're flesh and blood. We're also spirits. We house this body of flesh and blood. But it says, "Because we're partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also, Jesus himself came down in the fashion of a man." God in the flesh, amen. He himself took part of the same. So that what? So that through his death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Say deliver. And deliver them. Deliver. And deliver them. Well, how was it to come? Through the death of Jesus Christ. How was the deliverance going to come? Through the death of Jesus Christ. How was the deliverance going to come? Through the death of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? Says right here, praise God, he might destroy them that had the power of the death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Man, people are in bondage today. Christians are in bondage. They're in bondage to debt. They're in bondage to physical things. They're in bondage to mental things. They're in bondage to in fear of worry. They're in bondage. They're just in bondage, bound up through fear. Through fear. Through fear. Through fear. Why do you think God says over and over again, be not afraid? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Jesus himself said, fear not, little flock. Don't you know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? When the disciples messed up and the people messed up, he said, why are you so fearful? What's the matter with you? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? Do you understand that faith is the opposite of fear? You cannot be in fear and in faith at the same time. Check yourself. Am I afraid or am I in faith? Because if you're afraid, you're not in faith. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. If you're tormented, you're not in faith. Faith is based on the promises of God. What did God say? And then believing what God said. It's not enough to know what God said. We have to believe what God said. Just because we believe that God said it does not mean that we believe what God said. Just because we believe that God said it does not mean that we believe what God said. We must believe what he said. That's called faith. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And deliver them. And deliver them. We're talking about deliverance. I said we're talking about deliverance. The reason why we're talking about deliverance is because in the weeks and months, possibly years ahead, as this country begins to experience the consequences of its turning away from the God of life, the God of provision, the God of prosperity, as this country begins to experience nationally the consequences of departing from the living God as a nation, this country is going to begin to suffer in ways that this country has never suffered before. It's not God that's doing it. But when God removes his hand of protection, because God is a righteous God, and we've already seen varying degrees of his hand being lifted up off the country. Yes, amen. Now, I know there's many that would argue that, but arguing about it isn't going to change the reality of it. And we need to know that there is deliverance for the people of God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We need to know it. We need to know that there is deliverance for the people of God. Amen. And there is deliverance. Now I want you to turn backwards, if you would, to the book of Colossians. And I want to talk about deliverance, but I want to talk about it from the perspective of what God has said, not what people believe. Did you hear me? I want to talk about it from the perspective of what God has said, not what people believe. Because there's a whole lot of error in the church. We can fix it. Error can be corrected by simply learning the truth.
Amen.
And how many of you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And how many of you know that Jesus is the Word of God? Jesus tells us the truth. We can just look in the Word of God and see what God has said. Amen. And then get the truth. Now remember, Jesus died so that we could be delivered. Which means something must have happened when Jesus died. Because he did die. Right? And we just read in Hebrews where he died so that we would be delivered. Amen? Right? So there must be deliverance somewhere. Amen? Let's find out. You know, because the Word of God always agrees with itself. Doesn't contradict itself. People can contradict it. But the Word of God doesn't contradict itself. Amen? Are you in Colossians chapter 1? Praise God. Now, verse 9 of Colossians. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said this, "For this cause," it's for this reason, "since the day we heard, we do not cease to pray for you to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will." You might want to go ahead and circle that. Mm-hmm. Notice that here is Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, saying, "Listen, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of my will. I want you to know what my will is, and I want you to know it. I want you to know what the truth is." So folks, get this idea, well, now, you know, you can never really know the will of God. You need to read your Bible. Knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, the church has got to come to a place where there's some wisdom and spiritual understanding about these things. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. See, the church has got to come to a place where there's some wisdom and spiritual understanding about these things. And that spiritual understanding, that wisdom and knowledge of His will is going to be based on Scripture. Scripture. Say Scripture. Scripture. So that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Mm-hmm. What good is it to have a tree that doesn't bear fruit? What did Jesus say about the branches that don't bear fruit? Cuts them off. And then they're burned. We need to be fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Man, I've met Christians that have been born again for 30 years and they don't know anything. Not only did they not increase, but they actually know less than they did when they got saved. I know ministers that will argue about just basic things. Shame on the church. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice it says the knowledge of God. Doesn't say anything about the knowledge of our church doctrine. Now, if your church doctrine is based on God's word, well then fine. Praise God. And that's what we strive to do. Amen. Strengthen with all might. How much might? All might. Strengthen with might. How many of you know that the Lord has told us to be strong in Him? How many of you know the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is your strength? How many of you know the Word of God says let the weak say I'm strong? Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Doesn't say anything about whining, griping, murmuring. God, what's taking so long? God, I don't understand why. I mean, I'm doing all this. How come you haven't done this yet? How come you haven't healed me? Lord, if you don't get that money to me by 3 o'clock, I'm going to be out the door. That's not giving thanks unto the Father. And there's no joy in that. Let's do it the way God says. See, if we do what God says the way God says to do it, we'll have what God says we can have. When we do what God says to do the way God says to do it. Amen? Is it tough sometimes? Say, yeah. Yeah, it is. It is tough. Tough on the flesh, isn't it? Tough on the mind. Amen. Tough on the heart. Amen. Anybody who's ever been through anything can find out it's tough. Yet the Word of God tells us, doesn't it? Count it all joy when you're tested, when you're tried. Knowing this, the trying of your faith. Amen. You might be in manifold in sadness and heaviness through manifold temptations. You might be through these tests and trials. But know this, the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. Amen. The whole reason for it is to prove the genuineness of your faith, to develop some character in you. Amen. Doesn't say anything about griping, murmuring, complaining. Oh, geez, everybody out there, I don't understand why they're all blessed and I'm not. I do. I know exactly why they're walking in the blessing and you're not. And it's that mouth and it's that heart. Yeah, well, God knows what's in my heart. Yeah, we know too. We know just what's in your heart. It's coming out of your mouth. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has qualified us. King James says, which has made us meet. That means he's qualified us. Made us able. Qualified us. Who qualified us? God did. Doesn't say anything giving thanks unto the Father who allowed us to do everything we needed to do so that we could be qualified. No, it says who has qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You and I are qualified for the inheritance that we have in Jesus. Say, we're qualified. So that was weak. Say, I'm qualified. You are qualified. God qualified you. What did he qualify you for? Everything. We just happen to be talking about deliverance right now. See, because, you know, they understand that that devil, see, he'll use fear to keep you in bondage. You're not qualified. He'll just tell you that. When, remember what you did? You're not qualified. No, you need to know that you're qualified. Has nothing to do with what you did. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for you. It's what Jesus did. Right? It's what Jesus did. People are trying to be delivered, trying to receive deliverance, praying for deliverance, doing all kinds of things. That they need deliverance. They need to see deliverance, and they're trying to qualify for it. Knock it off. Jesus qualified us. It says so right here. Who has qualified us? Who has made us meet? Who has made us able to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? See what God says. See what God says. And verse. Here we go. 13. Praise God. Who? Say who has. Who has. Circle the word has or hath in the King James. Who has. Has. If I can just get this into your head. Has. Notice it doesn't say who will. This is important now. Notice it doesn't say he will. Doesn't say he might. Doesn't say he can. Amen. It says he has. Does it say he has? Say he has? Does your Bible say he has? He has. He has what? What's that next word? Delivered us. Well, then why are you praying for deliverance? I said, why are you praying for deliverance? Well, now that's a rhetorical question. See, now I understand praying for deliverance to folks that may be in bonds. Amen. That they might be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. I understand that. I understand us praying for folks who don't know. But why would I ask God to deliver me from something that he's already delivered me from? See, I know he's delivered me. Do you? I said, do you? Do you know he's delivered you? See, until you know that, you can't walk in that. Because you will be asking God to do something that he's already done, which means you're not in faith. And the Word of God tells us in Romans 5:2 that it is by faith that we have access into that deliverance. It's how we access it. It's how we see it manifested. It's by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God said, when faith in what God did. I got good news for you. You've been delivered. I don't care what you're facing. And I don't care how long you've been facing it. You've been delivered. Now, see, my wife and I, we were in bondage. We were in bondage to almost $250,000 in debt. And we were asking God to deliver us from that debt. A year after year. And nothing happened. Well, what's wrong with us? Well, actually, what's wrong with you, God? Why aren't you delivering us? We're tithing. We're giving our offerings. We're big givers. Deliver us. And then we'll start doing some other dumb thing. We're asking God for debt cancellation. Believe in God for debt cancellation. Well, you can believe all you want. It's not going to happen. God doesn't cancel debts. God gives us the opportunity and the means whereby by supernaturally we can pay them off. The Word of God tells us that the wicked borrow and pay not again. If he were to cancel that debt, we'd be wicked and he'd be wicked. Amen? He doesn't have a right to cancel a debt that goes to somebody else. They have the right to do it. It's all right for them to do it. But God's not going to cancel your debt. And nowhere in the Bible does that happen. What he does is he provides his supernatural power to where peoples can multiply and come to a place to where the debt can be paid. But we didn't know that. We just didn't know that. And so we're praying month after month. And things are getting worse month after month. And my wife is crying month after month. And I'm getting sicker and sicker month after month. And getting more and more fed up. Amen? Because this ain't working. And it didn't matter how many books I read about it, none of it did any good. Because the answer is not in those books. It's in this one right here. It's in this one. Then I began to see some things because I was asking the Lord, teach me. Look, if I'm missing it, show me. And he began to show me. And then I started arguing with him because I didn't like what he was showing me. This can't be right. Everybody else is preaching this. Amen. This is what they're saying. And finally he said, I don't care what they're saying. Who are you going to believe? If you believe me, I'll get you out of that thing. Amen. So I began to see some things in the Word of God about it. And I found out, first of all, there isn't debt cancellation. I found out, secondly, that we've been delivered. Amen. We've been delivered by faith. By faith. And so we began to operate in that realm, the faith realm, based on what God said. And it didn't take long. Amen? It didn't take long. We came out of it, praise God. Supernaturally. We began to see super manifestations of finances in ways that I can only look in the Bible in the Old Testament and see them, because I've never heard about them in natural realm and by people. I've never heard about it. But we see it. And let me tell you something. God wants to do the same for you. Amen. He wants to bring you to a place of supernatural provision and prosperity that you can only imagine. Amen. Because he wants you to be a blessing. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about financial bondage, could be physical bondage, could be any kind of bondage. He's delivered you, but it's accessed by faith. Now, I may not look it. Believe me, when we began to see these things, it did not look like we were delivered. I said it did not look like we were delivered, but God said we were. Well, let me just tell you something. If you look at me in the morning sometimes, I do not look saved. When you see me come in from outside working out in the garden, I do not look saved. Amen. But that doesn't mean I'm not. We're not told to look at what we can see. We're told to look at what God said. Matter of fact, we're told to disregard what we see and pay attention to what God said. And if God says you're delivered, you're delivered. It says right here, who has delivered? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? That's the power of the devil. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Is that what it says? Listen, I don't care how bad that numbskull is that's been harassing you. Amen. I know folks that are just being overcome with wicked people. You got angels. And we have the law. We got policemen. Amen. We got courts. But we have God. Amen? We have God. Word of God tells us no weapon formed against us will prosper. You know why? Because we've been delivered. Doesn't matter how bad their threats are. I like what happened with the apostles when the religious leaders grabbed them and everything and threatened them and everything else. So they just went back and got everybody together and said to God, now behold their threatenings. So now grant unto thy servants that we might preach the word boldly and by confirming your word with signs and wonders following, by stretching forth your hand to heal by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They didn't let those threats get to them. They said, listen, whatever we were doing that made them mad, we want to do it more and bolder. Amen? Now listen to their threats. Yeah, so what? So what? How many of you ever read Isaiah? All those that come against you, all those that oppose you, they'll perish and become as nothing. You look for them, you won't even be able to find them. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen. Every tongue that rises against you, you condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. But see, we need to know that. I'm not going to let some rascal go ahead and threaten me. Amen. Not when I have the living God in me and around me. And believe me, I've had some threats. So what? Say that again. God will smite your enemies on the cheek. I like what it says in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians it says, seeing as how it's a righteous thing with God to trouble them to trouble you. And it doesn't matter whether they're other Christians or not. People start troubling you, God will trouble them. You just put it in God's hands. Say, this is what you said. You delivered me. Now I'm going to let you take care of it. Amen. Amen. And if it's a physical thing, that's okay. You've been delivered from that. And when you realize that, that's when you'll be able to do what Ecclesiastes 11:10 says. Cast that thing off your body. Get it off of you. It doesn't have any right to be on you. And if you're dealing with fear and worry, the Word of God says, knock it off. That's to paraphrase it, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. Listen, if you're going to worry about it, why pray about it? You're going to make your choice. Make your choice. If you're going to pray about it, why worry? You just prayed about it. But you got to make your choice, right? Do we pray about it or do we worry about it? Now, you can write down the pros and cons if you want. Let's see, worry. Okay, what do we got here with the worry? Well, we got sleepless nights. Well, we got ulcers. Got an anxious mind. Blood pressure and everything else. You can just write them all out, okay? That's the worry side of it. Okay, now let's just talk prayer. Okay, what do we get? Peace. Joy. Results. I'll go with the prayer. Let's just go with the prayer of faith. Believing that what you're praying, that God hears it and is answered. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't have to ask God, Lord, if it be your will to deliver me from this. That's just nonsense. He just told me he has delivered me from the power of darkness. Are we so ignorant that we don't know what the power of darkness is and what is not? A child knows. Bad thing, power of darkness. Good thing, God. A child knows that. But for some reason, Christians don't. And the more they read or the more they hear, it sounds like the dumber they get. Amen. We need to see what the Word of God says. He has delivered us. Delivered us. He's delivered us. We are delivered. Say, I'm delivered. Yeah, you're delivered. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You're delivered. Now you got to stand in that thing. I'm delivered from it. I'm delivered from it. Yeah, most of you know. My body tried to kill me. Didn't even need the devil to do it. My body did. Amen. Amen. See, your body will mess with you if you let it. But see, if you mess with your body's going to mess with you. Let me just say that to you. Just so you know. You don't treat your body well, your body's going to mess with you. And my body tried to kill me. Amen. And I suffered 4 heart attacks and had to have heart surgery and so forth. And praise God, that all went off successfully. Thank God for that. Didn't need to go through any of that, but I didn't know that then. Amen. And then a little bit later on, you know, my heart decided to say, well, I think I've been here long enough. I think I've worked long enough. I think I'm about time for me to retire. And let me just tell you, that was painful. And it could be frightening. And I dealt with it for months. A bad heart. And the doctor's reports weren't good. Thank God that I have more than just an earthly doctor. I have the healer. His name is Jesus. Amen. And I heard the doctor's reports. Praise God. I was wise not to share them with anybody because I didn't need other folks talking about it. So I just kept my mouth shut. But then I remember what God said in Isaiah 53. Well, who's believed my report? See, you got your doctor's report. But now you're going to believe my report. What's his report? Well, he his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. And with his stripes, what? You were healed. We're healed. See, delivered from the power of darkness. You understand that death is the power of darkness. Death is the power of darkness. Death is. See, facing death, an early death. An early death. Death before my time. Wasn't done, wasn't satisfied. And yet I knew in Psalm 91, the Word of God says, with long life will I satisfy you. Well, I wasn't satisfied. I was a young man. Amen? So I just said, no, I'm delivered of this thing. Well, my heart disagreed with me. I said, my heart disagreed with me. That's all right. You may have to get your heart in line and bring it into agreement. That's why Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under. You understand that? If your body is rebelling against you, well, go ahead and take the rod to it. Amen. It's your body. See, your body belongs to you. It's not the other way around. You tell your body what to do. I tell my body every Sunday, get up. And my body says, no, no. We stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's sleep in. No, I can't sleep. Get up. Get up. I make my body get up. My body doesn't want to get up. Not on Sunday, not on Monday, not on any day. It never has. But I make it get up. Amen. I'm glad that I do that, because you understand, if I can't get up to go to church, how in the world am I going to get my body to receive the healing that belongs to it? If it won't even listen to me when I say get up. So I just received the deliverance that I had. Did you hear me? I received it. I just received it by faith. Well, now, you know, it may take a while for your faith. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 10. As a matter of fact, if you start reading from around the 35th verse, it tells you that, but you have need of patience, perseverance, so that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Amen. Well, what is the will of God? Believe on the Son. Believe Him. Stand in faith. Receive by faith. Well, that's the will of God. Okay, so now He says you're going to need perseverance. You're going to have to get your body to just stand. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how long it takes, stand. And I did, month after month, till one day I woke up with a new heart. You can wake up with a new heart too. Or a new gallbladder. Or a new kidney. Some of you need new minds. But those can be renewed, amen? Amen. Who has delivered us? Does the Word of God say we have been delivered? Yeah, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and even better than that, not only have we been delivered from the power of darkness, do you understand? The devil has no power over you that you don't give him. The devil has no power over you that you don't give him. Why go back into that prison? Why go back into that place of bondage, of fear? Why go back there? You don't have to. You can stay out of that place. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God is, it's not just in word only. It's righteousness, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. But not only have we been delivered from the power of darkness, but even better, we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Do you understand? I'm not waiting to go to heaven, because I already have heaven in me. How about you? Doesn't the Word of God say the kingdom is within you? Yes. That's heaven. Now, we will see the full manifestation at a point, but we have the down payment of it in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory. The confident expectation of glory. Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Do you understand that when we're in the kingdom of God, we have everything we could ever want. Anything we could ever need, anything we could ever desire, anything we could ever require. We have it. We've been translated into that. We were snatched out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Delivered from the power of darkness. Delivered. We don't have to ask God to deliver us, and we don't have to wait on Him to do it. He did it. It's done. It's done. Now we have to walk in it by faith. Now we have to walk in it by faith. By faith. By faith. It is our faith in what God accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ at the cross that enables us to access the power of that resurrection and all of the promised blessings contained in it. Probably couldn't say that again, but that's all right. We got it recorded. But it sure was good. Amen? It's our faith in what God accomplished at the cross through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's our faith in that that enables us to access all the power that comes with that resurrection and all the promises that are contained in it. It's our faith in that. Listen, do you have faith, or did you have faith in what God accomplished at the cross in regards to your salvation of your soul? In other words, deliverance from eternal death. Did you have faith in that? And how did you access that? By faith. You went ahead and you learned about it, and you spoke it out, and you just walked in it by faith. I'm saved. Now you have absolutely no outward proof of that you're saved, do you? But you have the word that says you are. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, so you got your faith in that. Well, it's the same way that we access anything else. It's how we access healing. It's how we access deliverance. It's how we access safety and soundness. It's how we access provision and prosperity. It's the same way. It's not a different way. It's by faith. And God says, don't worry about it. Hang in there. I'll deliver you when I get around to it. Right now I'm a little busy over here. Don't you see all the trouble we got going on in Africa? Is that what he said? No, he didn't say that. He said, I've delivered you. I qualified you, and I delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of my dear Son. Isn't this good news? Isn't this good news? Well, you know, we're not done with this. I think we need to talk about it some more so that we can get it in us. But that's a good start, isn't it? We get a good start. Are you delivered? Listen, you can tell whether you believe that or not by whether or not you allow fear to take root in your mind. Amen? I'm not saying that fear won't come.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
But that doesn't mean you have to allow it entry.
That's
right? Just because fear comes doesn't mean you have to allow it. Don't let it in. Well, now you see, we practice these things. That's why we're called disciples.
Yes, sir.
Discipline ourselves. I won't let that happen. I'm not going to let that happen. Believe me, that when we learned of deliverance we had from our debt, it was discipline that kept us from continuing on with our sleepless nights. By meditating on the Word of God and His promises, it will give you peace instead of meditating on the problem. And during that time, where those months that I went through where my heart was trying to kill me, there were many opportunities to be afraid. Amen. And my wife too. Amen. But you can't let fear come. You can't let fear rule. Not if you want faith to manifest the blessing. You got to stay in faith, which means you got to cast out that fear. You got to put it down. And that the way you do that is how? By meditating on God's word. What did God promise? Now, what's really good about it is you have a family. You have a church. You have a good pastor. Amen. And you got folks that love you that will stand up with you and pray in agreement with you and encourage you and hold you up and bear you up. Amen. We won't let anything happen to you. Let me just tell you right now, if I'm your pastor, nothing's going to happen to you that will be permanent. I'll just tell you that right now because I won't let it happen. Did you hear what I said? That's why it's so important to have a good pastor. It's the truth. When you submit yourself to your pastor and receive your pastor then begins to have authority in areas of your life to protect you, to guard you, to watch over you, just like a shepherd over the sheep. And I'll tell you what, I see the devil come in, I will whack him. He'll know that he moved in on a pastor's sheep. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. Oh, if only more pastors would do that and understand that. That's what a shepherd is for, amen? To guard, to watch over, to tend, to nurture the sheep, praise God. And I see wolves coming in, I'm not going to stand there and watch them. Oh, Lord, what are you going to do about this? No, he told me to deal with them. And we deal with them, amen? Are we learning anything? Let's take a second and thank God. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your precious holy word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can see truth. We thank you, Lord God, that you can reveal to us your promises, your will. We thank you, Father God, that you can reveal to us by your Spirit, through your word, our inheritance, so that we can see who we are and what we have in you. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Father, I would pray that these words, whoever hears it, and whoever has heard it, Father, that these words, every word of yours, Father, will sink deep into their hearts. And that, Father, it'll take root, it will grow, and bear much fruit, Father God. That their eyes might be opened, that they might come to know and realize the truth of your promise and the greatness of your power towards us who believe. Thank you, Father. And so we can't help but give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanksgiving and all the honor now and forever and ever, because we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, you can say amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.